Take your Bibles and quickly turn with me to the book of Ephesians. We're going to read several portions of Scripture.
One of the realities of our times, Pastor Paul alluded to this in Sunday school, is confusion. It's confusion. I think that's a great word to describe 21st century America. My wife teaches a few students who are very confused. And I say that from a specific lens. I say that from the lens of our Creator. In other words, what I'm saying is God created you and me. And every morning we get up, we look in the mirror, we see what God has created. But there's a lot of confusion when you look at that person staring back at you at the mirror and you say, "Who am I?" When we have generations of children who have been taught that they are here as a result of evolution and a process of change from a monkey to what they see in that mirror looking back at them, is it any wonder that one week they can be straight and the next week they can be gay and the next week they can be transgender? I'm not a boy or a girl. To some of us, we've looked through the lens of creation so long, we look at that and we say, "That's absolute craziness. What's wrong with those people? Can't they just see what they are?" It's a lot of confusion. It creates a lot of confusion for us who are confident in who we are. Well, I look in the mirror, I know I'm a boy, I know I'm about 5'9", I know I weigh about, 165 pounds, and, you know, I do this and I do that, and I have this family, and, you know, we kind of just answer all these questions flippantly, and we're like, I don't get it. I recently read this. If your worldview, if how you view the world, doesn't answer basic existential questions like, "Who am I?" That's identity. "How did I get here?" That's existence. "What am I supposed to do?" Purpose. "What is the point?" Value. "Where am I going?" Future. If the way you view the world doesn't give you solid answers to those questions, then what's the point of existing at all? It's confusion. A lot of confusion. How are we to respond to that confusion? Why is that confusion seem to be growing and growing and growing? I mean, they're long established cultural functions are called into question. What's a husband? What's a wife? What's a family? There are kids at my wife's school who think family is just anybody who loves each other. They don't believe that there are defined roles. Just people. A lot of confusion. We live in a world where kids are self-identifying and labeling themselves long before they even reach adulthood, before they can even understand who they are or what they are. Because there's a society pressuring them to self-label. I am this or I am that. This is my identity or that is my identity. As our contemporary culture desperately pursues answers to the above questions, they begin to question long-established institutions like marriage and family and basic morality. What is right and what is wrong? They can't answer those questions because they don't start with the lens of their Creator. There are no consistent answers to any of those questions. I've had to watch personally as someone I care deeply for who has pursued answers everywhere but the Creator. And they're not all the same. There's so many different ones out there. How does one even know? Right? Look with me at Ephesians chapter number 1. I want to just read a few verses, and then I want to bounce around quickly through this passage, because I want you to understand, Paul wrote this book to the Ephesian believers, and there was a lot of confusion similar today that was going on in Ephesus. It's not new. And Paul addresses who these Ephesian believers are in the first three chapters before he ever gets to, because you're a believer, here's what you want to strive for. Here's how you want to act. Here's the kind, you know, we're all familiar with Ephesians 6, right? Children, obey your parents. Husbands, love your wives. You know, chapter 5, wives, reverence your husbands. We get all these roles. I mean, do you know that all comes after the question, who am I? Because you have to start there. That's the core question. Who am I? So when we look at Ephesians chapter number 1, Paul says in the very first verse, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. He's talking to believers, those who have professed Christ. We've been blessed. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And notice these two words. In Christ. In Christ. See, we got all these spiritual blessings and we've got this wonderful relationship. We've got grace and we've got peace and we've got love and we've got joy. We've got all these things in Christ. In Christ. So let's look at a few other places. Look in verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him. In him. This is going to be a common theme in him. The connection between us and Christ. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Go with me to the end of verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved. We're in Christ. We are in the body. We are in him. It is a community. There's a plurality there. Notice verse 7, in whom? In Christ we have redemption. In Christ we have forgiveness. In Christ we have riches. Notice verse 10, that in the dispensation, or that in the age of the fullness of the times, you know, at the end of all things, one of my favorite movie series has that word in it. In the end of all things. If you're not a Lord of the Rings fan, then you won't get that. The end of all things. Do you know that terrorizes some people? There are some people sitting in this room who really aren't real sure. They have questions about, is Christianity really true? I mean, I believe in Jesus, but there's a nagging doubt. Is it really true? In the end of all things, what's going to happen? Notice, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and are on the earth, even in him. Verse 11, in whom we've obtained an inheritance. Verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel, the good news of your salvation. In whom ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I want to really just deal with that first existential question. Existential meaning why we exist. Who am I? Do you know that throughout Scripture, God really only has two categories? In him, in Christ, or in Adam? Now, we can call it a lot of different things. We can say, in Christ, believers. in Adam non-believers. But we better be careful about behavior labels. Pastor Paul, I asked him if he'd help me. Would you help me? I need like three more people just to hold a couple pieces of paper for me. Brother Whatke, would you help me?
Pastor Stephen,
would you help me?
Okay. Is that all?
Yep. I'm going to give each of you actually four signs.
Four signs.
Okay. All right. I'm going to give you these two and then these two for later. Don't show them yet. I'm sorry. These were just in random order. Okay. All right. I'm going to hold two too. All right. So, you know, our world is label crazy. Right? The Bible has a lot of labels for, you know, categories. In Revelation, the Bible says that no adulterer, no liar, no whoremonger, you know, gives all these horrific lists of really bad things, right? None of them are going to be in heaven, Revelation says. And yet, if we went down that list and said, hey, how many of you have ever said a lie? No hands? I mean, come on. You're with me. Okay, so we have a problem, right, with that particular scripture if we don't know the rest of scripture. Mm-hmm. If we don't know that he became sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, then we have no answer for that other passage. Okay? We use all of our human labels. And we say, well, you're the liar, and you're the thief, and you're the adulterer, and you're the this, and you're the that, and you're the this, and you're some of these things. So, and then there's some good things, right? So we each have a couple of signs here. Mine says adulterer. Mine says PhD intelligent. That's impressive, right? Not so much, right? But I can be both of these things, can't I? Yeah. Pastor Stephen, what do you have? Whoa. Millionaire. Now, wouldn't we be impressed if he walked in and he was a millionaire?
Amen.
Yeah, you never know. He might be.
Yeah.
You don't know. I don't know Pastor Stephen. I don't know if his family's got all this wealth that's coming to him someday and he's just biding his time. I have no idea. He's laughing, so maybe it's not true. I don't know. What's the second one say over there? Rebel. What happens if he walked into the back of this church and those two signs were above his head? Would you treat him differently? Or would you treat him the same? Pastor Paul, what do you have? Olympic champion! Woo! Wow! All right, what's that next one say? Oh boy. No. Flip it around the other way. Addict. Wait a minute. All of you were like, oh yeah, that's great. And then all of a sudden we hear, oh, doesn't that change my opinion? Oh, now he's not so cool. Right? Brother Wucky, what do you have? He's got a good one. CEO. Google? Facebook? I don't know, but he's a CEO. That's amazing. But look at the other one. Ugly. Do you know though, that's a label that was used and a teenager committed suicide because of it. Harassed on Facebook because somebody was calling them ugly. See, our world is so quick to label, but you know the one thing you can't know from all of these signs? You can't tell. Go ahead and show your other two. You can't tell these ones right here. You can't tell whether any one of those individuals is in Christ. You got two of them because each one represents another person. Or in Adam. Can you? See, I know Christians who are intelligent and have PhDs. Thank you. I know Christians who are millionaires. I know Christians who are CEOs. I know Christians who are adulterers. I know Christians who behave ugly. I know Christians who are addicts. Do you know what matters at the end of all things? Whether I am in Christ or not. Because the addict, the adulterer, the ugliness, I don't remember what the fourth one was. Those things have a solution in Christ. All the world does is label. And you can't escape your labels. How many times do you have to steal to be a thief? How many times do you have to lie to be a liar? How many times do you have to commit adultery to be an adulterer? How many times? And how do you get away from it? If we go back to Ephesians chapter number 1, in verse number 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches, the inexhaustible, by the way, riches of his grace, wherein he makes us accepted in the beloved. See, at the end of all things, I'm going to stand in front of my Savior, and there's not one thing from this life I'm going to offer him. Because you don't stand in front of your judge in your righteousness and in your works. You stand clothed in his. Look with me at Romans. There's another passage I want us to see. I want to give you some quick contrast. Look with me at Romans chapter number 5. I've got just a couple minutes left here. Romans chapter number 5, and then I want to give you some statements to close. Romans chapter number 5, verse 12. Says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, that is Adam, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there's no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. There's some contrast between being in Adam and in Christ. In Adam, we die. In Christ, we live. In Adam, we are slaves to sin. In Christ, we are slaves to righteousness. We bear the mark of Christ, of Jesus Christ. In Adam, we face God's wrath, but Romans tells us that we have peace with God. Therefore, in Christ, we experience God's full grace. In Adam, we are condemned, and in Christ, we are redeemed. In Adam, we are a dysfunctional family. In Christ, we are a perfectly unified, functional family. And I could go on and on in contrasting the differences between in Adam and in Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. So let me conclude with some questions. I wish I could talk more about this. It's just so impactful. First of all, am I in Adam or am I in Christ? It's a question you need to answer today. It'll help you answer all the other questions. Two, if I am in Christ, am I prioritizing living out of that identity or some other identifying label more important to me? This is huge for me because I faced a massive identity crisis about 2 years ago. I was not a pastor of a church anymore. I wasn't sure if I was going to be married anymore. No job, no career, and no roof over my head. Lose all of that and ask yourself, who am I? If you lost your spouse, if you lost your family, if you lost your job, If you don't identify yourself as in Christ, then you've lost everything. But not if you identify as in Christ. Because Ephesians chapter 1 goes on to tell us all the wonderful things we have in Christ. This life is full of trouble. And Christ can be the anchor that allows you to navigate the storms of life if your identity is in Him. Am I in Adam? Am I in Christ? If I'm in Christ, am I prioritizing my identity from Him? Father, this morning, we've had just a few brief minutes to look at this passage. There's so much more in here. But we sing songs like, "In Christ alone, my hope is found. You are my light, my strength, my song, my cornerstone, my solid rock." God, help us not to just sing that, but live it. In Jesus' name, amen.